Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
All right, Bob, we've talked about the good and the bad. I don't think we've talked about the ugliness of the Broderick Jones episode. And I'm going to say right off the top, I think they've jerked this kid around. And I think this is more on them than him. And what happened yesterday was just lunacy. And I can't believe I was the only person. There had to have been many, many more, perhaps including you and our friend Wonder Twin, who when they saw Jerry Dulac's report before the game that the Steelers were going to alternate Fatanu and Broderick Jones at right tackle, said to themselves, that sounds like a recipe for disaster, because I said it, and I'm sure, did you?
Well, yeah, I don't like the fact that they're still indecisive about where these guys should be playing. And while, you know, you credit Dan Moore for occupying that left spot, they drafted two guys to replace him. And now here they are, not on that side, but they're playing alternately or in a rotation at right tackle, which is not really the play.
It doesn't even make sense. It makes no sense to play them in a rotation. It made less sense to bring in Broderick Jones when they did. Okay, so you're thinking about doing that? Think about something else, like the fact you just had a long touchdown drive. Things are going well offensively for a franchise that hasn't had a lot of things go well offensively for many years. You're in Denver. What'd they go, 7.5 minutes on a touchdown drive?
Yes.
Okay. You're leading the game. Things are going nicely. Let's make a change. What? At our 1 yard line? We're pinned on our 1 yard line. And now, after the touchdown drive, with things going well, pinned on our one, we're going to put in Broderick Jones, who has struggled mightily in the preseason. He was okay last week, I guess, but has struggled, let's be honest. To me, right there, you're taking a chance on a guy getting beat for safety, anything. What are you doing?
Yeah, that was the wrong time to do it. I thought the same thing. We were sitting there, Chris and I, you watch these games and you're like, why is he now in there?
So Pat Meyer, I imagine, is the guy who suggested it, and Tomlin should have been the guy who vetoed it, saying, you know what, Pat, let's scrap the plan here. Things are going well. Instead, we see him get three penalties in a span of six plays. One of them wipes out, I believe, a first down. I can't remember. It was the one where he jumped early, the only guy on the offense. He didn't have the count right. Then he got a holding, and then he got another holding that wiped out a 51-yard play to Pickens, one of the best pass plays that a Steelers quarterback has had since Ben left town. Maybe the best pass play since Ben left town. And it gets wiped out because of a Broderick Jones hold. People say, no, he didn't hold on. Yes, he did. I know they missed a lot on TJ and Alex Highsmith. That doesn't negate the fact that Broderick Jones held on that play. And he gets pulled in the middle of the series. Bob, that was a disaster. And you know what? It almost cost them the game. If Denver comes back to win that game and the Steelers kept them in it, and that is a horrible football team, the Steelers kept them in it. If they come back and win, let's say in overtime, I would look back on that Broderick Jones episode as costing the Steelers a game, because if they go up there with a 99-yard touchdown drive and it looked like they were on their way with that throw to Pickens, I just think it's a different game and it might be a blowout game.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, he single-handedly cost him 25 yards and big plays and everything on that play. Now, again,
51 yards, right?
51 yards on the play to Pickens.
Yeah.
Down the side. Yeah. So, but I mean, he cost them 25 yards alone with three penalties. And I looked around and I asked some questions of people about, has an offensive lineman, when was the last time an offensive lineman committed three penalties in six plays?
It's amazing.
And the answer I got, I put it into that ESPN stats, and I got not much there. But I asked a few other people that I know who run those accounts, and the best they can do is 5 years ago, you know, for, to find someone who had done that. That's a lot of penalties to take in, you know, 1 6-snap sequence of the game. So, but yeah, it was the wrong time to do it. And honestly, I thought when Troy Faltano, he was playing okay. I didn't see any need to do that. But if you're obligated to do it because you want to keep people involved in the game and that's your only reason, that's not the right reason to do it. You have to, to me, offensive line is all chemistry, cohesion, and you can mess it up real quick by making a substitution that I don't think they needed to make.
Well, what do you think of my suggestion that the Steelers have completely screwed this up? That jerking Broderick Jones around, not letting him play his natural position, putting him in a game in that situation, if that doesn't kill somebody's confidence, I don't know what would. Maybe even playing him hurt. I don't know. Is he hurt? Was he hurt in that preseason game? Toggling him back and forth, all because Dan Moore is incapable of playing right tackle. That's how this whole merry-go-round started. I think they've mismanaged the guy, and they've basically told the world now that they think Fotanu's the better player, even though they took Jones higher in the draft and traded up to get him last year.
I here's two thoughts on that. Number one, I give Dan Moore a lot of credit because Dan Moore is in a position where he knew they were drafting people to take his job, and he's apparently done better than they have done in those situations. Although I did not see a lot of I wanted to see more Broderick Jones at left tackle in the preseason. That's where I thought they should have just said, you go. We know what Dan Moore is. You play. We're going to see what you do. And they didn't really do too much of that. They put him at right tackle, and he really struggled. Now, Chris Hoke believes that he was somewhat, you know, came into camp a little disinterested in that. And you can't do that. You can't be that person. You have to earn everything. I don't care where you're drafted. You can't use that. Has he earned it to go over there? I don't think he has. So that's on him. He needs to do that. Have they contributed to the fact that he hasn't grown? Yes, because they haven't played in a position where he is most natural. But Dan Moore has made that a problem because he can only play the one position and he can't move to right tackle. So now they're using Dan Moore as someone who's been there, done that, but he hasn't been the best at what he's done. He's been okay, not the best. You brought guys in to take that job eventually, and those guys are not at that position. So I think it's a multifaceted kind of thing. But I would give Dan Moore credit for just saying, okay, they want to do that, I'm going to play better, I'm going to beat them out. And so far, apparently, he has.
PFF gave Fotanu incredibly high grades.
One of the best grades
yesterday.
They've given any, right?
So it would appear he's the guy. You know, it's just very strange. And maybe it's because Jones didn't play a lot in college, I guess. Fotanu, we got word, you know, from the likes of Jerry Dulac very early that this is the guy. He's going to start right away. They didn't feel that way about Jones last year. Is it because of his inexperience?
But Jones played right tackle last year. That's why I was a little disappointed. Even if that's where they have
eventually
him,
he did, yeah.
And he played okay until the end of the year. Then it went down a little bit, especially in that Buffalo playoff game.
It's a concerning situation. And then there was Jones after the game. I don't know if everybody got a load of this quote. This might have been Richie Walsh by himself because I didn't see
it
in the newspaper accounts.
Yeah, it was him in the game afterwards. So Rich was there asking, and this quote is a very interesting quote, one that Chris and I kind of looked at each other as soon as we heard it.
So did what? I. Yes. Let's hear it.
Not really, you know, because I, you know, if I'm not starting, I really don't feel like, you know, I should be playing. You know what I'm saying? So rotation, it's really not a big factor for me.
That's it. You know. That's the quote. There's really no need for people
true.
Will say, well, what about the context around it? No, it's a standalone quote where he was asked to follow up by Richie on some other question. And again, this is what he uttered. Let's just hear the key quote.
You know, if I'm not starting, I really don't feel like, you know, I should be playing. You know what I'm saying? So
wow is what I say to that one. Bob, that sounds like Gary Templeton all those years ago. If I ain't starting, I ain't departing for the All-Star game.
For a young player, he can't have that attitude. I gave him credit yesterday for coming out and addressing the questions after he was yanked from that game. I thought that was a good sign of somebody who understood that, hey, it's on me.
And do you agree with him? Do you agree with that quote?
No, I don't agree with that quote. That's when he made that quote. It was like it ruined the moment for him.
I do agree with the quote. I do agree with what he said. I just don't think he should have said it. Because Tomlin might,
but you can't say if I'm not in it, I'm not. It's like you're not engaged. You have to be engaged. You have to be willing to play wherever that team wants you to play.
Well, if we disagree with the idea of rotating tackles, then I have to say, and I do, then I have to say he's right. If he's not starting, he shouldn't be playing. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not ready if the guy gets hurt. It just means he's not a fan of the rotation system.
And he doesn't have to be a fan, but he has to do what they tell him to do in that situation.
He's right about it. If I believe
but
that rotating tackles...
But he made it sound like I'm not interested then if that's how it's going to be. That's how it came off to me.
Maybe.
And you can't not be interested. It's your job to be ready.
I took it more as sort of a signal from him that, man, that was a stupid idea. And he's right. We just said it. We both agreed on it. It's stupid to be rotating your right tackles in a game. Especially when one guy gets off to a great start and they score a touchdown. He's right about that. However, if I'm advising him, I don't think it's a great idea to say that out loud because, again, Mike Tomlin just might take you up on that and not play you at all. I guess I'd rather be playing than not playing, Bob, even if it's in a rotation.
Listen, again, the way that came off, I'm not sure how he meant it to come off, but he expressed dissatisfaction with being in a rotation. Tough beans, man. You're in the NFL, you're a number one pick, and they have basically said you haven't earned the left tackle spot. Dan Moore's better than you right now. All right, so do it, you know. Again, I thought it was the wrong comment at the wrong time. After what happened to him yesterday,
it almost sounded like excuse making.
We agree there. So that's how I took it.
It's an unbelievable quote. What do you think Tomlin will make of it? Is this Chukwuma Okorafor part two?
No, because they have too much invested in him. That's not going to happen.
I don't mean getting rid of him, but it sounds like a similar type of
he'll have a conversation.
Defeatist.
The one thing I know about Mike Tomlin, he has a very good upfront communication with these guys. He'll bring them in and talk. He may do it in front of the group. You know, so who knows how he's going to handle it, but he will handle it because you can't, you know, if he sees that, I don't know if he saw it or heard it. If he did, I'm sure he'll be made aware of it. You just can't have that, you can't have that attitude.
Yeah, that's what I meant with the Chooks comparison is a defeatist sort of quote that maybe is a little bit cryptic, but when he says, if I'm not starting, I really don't feel like I should be playing, that just jumps off the page. And Tomlin will get a hold of that one, Bob. Let's go to the phones. Wonder Twin?
We have Ken in South Park.
Hi, Ken.
Hey, how you doing?
I've never been better, and I value your inquiry.
Hey, I was just wondering, with the Tua thing going on in Miami, is with any trade talks for Russell Wilson to maybe get a wide receiver from Miami?
Appreciate the question. Bob, I've heard people mention this, but the Steelers' quarterback situation is hardly settled here. I don't know that they're in position to trade Russell Wilson.
No, just because of what you said. You can't afford to do that. Injuries happen all the time. And you don't want to be thin in that department. Kyle Allen is a guy who's been around. He can handle it for probably a short time. But if somebody gets injured, then you trade one of them away, and now you're down to him.
Yeah.
You leave yourself very much exposed. So, no, that's not happening.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates. Personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the hotline, of course, brought to you by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Excuse me, Bob, I need to cough. Can you take over the show?
Yes. Welcome to the Joe Show as he clears his throat. He's had a lot to say today, so you can understand why it would go dry there for a while. He came out firing, and that fire eventually hurt the vocal cords.
Thank you, Bob. I'm back here. We want you back after this to talk more Pittsburgh sports. Don't be a statistic. Get your heart checked by the experts at UPMC. Very important work to do there and really easy to get scheduled, and you'll be in great hands with the heart experts at UPMC. So as we talk about that, the question comes up of, well, what about the pass offense itself and what about receiver? People asking, that guy just asked, can we trade Russell Wilson for a receiver? Jerry Dulac, just comes out with a story. Minutes ago, Bob, Steelers desperately need a second wide receiver to help buoy the offense, take the pressure off George Pickens. So again, I come back to the con artist who his greatest trick so far is making their receiver room disappear. Like a little, he sawed their receiving room in half. Like you see it, like you see other magicians do, the old con artist, right?
Yeah. That's a glaring weakness at this point, just because two games in we've seen that if it's not Pickens, it's not many other people. And whether or not that's, you know, again, I think Fields tends to look to him more so than anyone else for good reason, but you gotta get other guys involved. They got to scheme guys over. They got to do something to get other guys involved.
Well, but what if those guys aren't open? That would be my question. And Fields had a little nugget that was interesting that Dulac has a quote here. We knew coming into this game that this officiating crew threw the most defensive pass interferences last year. That was a big reason for taking those shots downfield. That's interesting to me. And it worked. They got the 30.
They got the one on Van Jefferson.
Well, but from their perspective, they got one on Patrick Surtain, right? Down the field for
right,
a big
two
game.
Of them. Yep.
So two of them. So you take shots down the field. I like that a lot. But Jerry's right. Obviously, they need another receiver.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Can I interrupt with some breaking news?
Yes, you can.
We've been waiting for months for this news that is finally broken. The Pittsburgh Penguins have re-signed Sidney Crosby to a two-year contract extension running through the 26-27 season. Average annual value, you guessed it.
$8.7 million a year.
$8.7 million a year.
See, this guy is
unbelievable,
that tells
Bob.
Me something, though.
Because for taking less all the time.
You know, he just takes his number. I don't think that was ever going to change. But but 2 years kind of makes me wonder now. You know,
yeah, that's the interesting
2 years, because most people thought it was going to be four, and I'm sure the team didn't want to play, you know, if he wanted to move on or whatever, 4 years into this, they don't want to be charged with whatever. That's very interesting to me. 2 years.
That, it, to me,
because
that,
it leaves time
part,
for him.
And both of it stands out, the 2 years and the annual salary. I was thinking, somebody asked me in the mailbag last week, I said, how does 3 or 4 years at $15 million a year sound to you? Because Sid can still write a blank check, and at some point in his career, I felt like would be perfectly justified in recouping all this money that he's lost right. over the years.
So he's signed for the next 3 years. It's added on to what this season was going
right.
to be.
But still, I think you know he wants to. I'm sure he wants to play well. You know, 40 and beyond.
He just said the other day, as long as possible.
Right, and so that makes me think that okay, if he sees you know a couple of years from now things aren't going in the right direction, here he can just make himself available. I don't know if that's the case or not, but I expected one more year added on to that. Just my expectation.
That is really interesting. 8.7. Bob, he'd be justified at nearly twice that.
Did you see what Connor McDavid's big winger, Draisaitl, got? $14 million average annual VAT.
Right.
14. So they're breaking that barrier, going higher and higher. I give Sid a lot of credit. He's making a lot of money. He's made a lot of money. He has a lot of endorsement money coming in. He is who he is. He has his beliefs. He's superstitious. And I think he wants to make this all work. So
I'll tell you what else.
Good for him. It also allows them to spend more money on other people eventually, too.
That's the key in all of this. It's a clear sign, I think, that Sid is staying on the condition that they continue to try to win and build around him.
Yeah.
Right?
I think so. I think that's one of the big things. I think Dubas, we're going to find out. He brought in a lot of people, as he did last year. How many will help them? These are guys who've had some success, but you know, not consistent enough. But I think Sidney Crosby needs younger people around him. That whole team needs younger people to take jobs away from people.
The unspoken message there is go spend your money
spend
on
your
people
money.
To help
yeah,
me.
Right.
And now you have to really, if you're Kyle Dubas, and they didn't do it with Gensel, they didn't re-sign Gensel, but at least they got an actual player who's a different kind of player who can help them in return and Bunting, but still. That was the first biggest sign that Dubas is going to try at least a little bit, maybe, of rebuilding on the fly, or at least isn't 1,000% committed to everything now when you don't sign Gensel, right? But that, that was pretty much the only thing. But my point is, Bob, that you have to now feel committed to Sid. This is an incredible gesture that he's made now for over a decade. The only other athlete in team sports in this country that I can think of that has given up more money, like an A-list star,
Tom Brady.
Right. And for a long time, he had a wife that was richer than him. I think that makes a difference, right?
But, you know, Crosby never has struck me as somebody who's going to just be in it for money. He's not in it for money. He has enough money. He knows that. He's one of these guys who just wants to continue
but
to play
gesture,
at a high level
win. But who else has given back that kind of money?
No, Tom Brady was my answer, as it
That's
is your
it.
Answer.
That's it.
You know,
Ben was desperate at the end. Ben, and I don't blame him or anybody, Ben always went for the money until he was faced with a decision of probably either I don't play or I take a pay cut. So I'm going to hold off on the credit for him at the end of his career. He always took the money, and good for him. Everybody does. But Brady and Sid, I'm trying to think of other examples. There are guys who give a little bit back.
Yeah, there are guys who took a little
discount.
Not like
this.
But no. He has every right to expect $14 million a year. You know,
he's given, from what he could have reasonably asked for and made, which is pretty much anything, but let's say $12 million a year. So let's just say $3 million for, I don't know, 7 years, 8 years, that's 24. And I think he's given up another 10, 12, 15. He's given this franchise upwards of $40 million to go spend to try to win. It's really incredible when you think about it.
It really is. It's incumbent upon them to do that now. They continue to try to walk this line about future and present. At some point, present has to be present. And you got to win now with him. He's committed this. Go out and help him win in the next 2 years. Do you think that's still a legitimate possibility given the age of this team?
Yes, I do. Let's talk about that coming up, Bob. Let's talk about that since this is breaking news. I was never really concerned about this. People were. I'd heard at one point.
I never was either. It was just a matter of what was making it delayed. And the fact that it's a two-year extension tells me something.
I don't think that had anything to do with the delay. I think the delay was about they wanted to kick off camp or right before camp with an announcement and get people back in a hockey mood. I don't think there was ever much contention over this because Sid, obviously, based on the fact that he's getting 8.7, wasn't asking for it. It certainly wasn't about money.
Right, which is why I thought he'd do it on August 7th. He's so superstitious
for that number.
He is
superstitious, but I think the Penguins really wanted this to jumpstart from a PR perspective. Training camp, let's go. Sid signed, let's get back to hockey. I think I never got a sign from him, from his public comments, that there was any issue at all.
No, and we talked about this. People get worried as they don't even play a game for over a month.
Right.
I mean, there was plenty of time to do it, but people always thought, for various reasons, that this, maybe there's something going on. You know, there could be things that we don't know about that delayed it. I don't know, but I don't think there was any doubt he was going to stay here and try to complete this one more time. So.
Yeah. Well, three more times as
no, I'm talking about Stanley Cup. I think if you get one in the next 3 years.
Oh yeah, yeah. You know. Well, he's given himself and he's given them a better shot over the next 3 years by the nature of this deal.